So the first one that you mentioned in our email was this book project, this Memories We'd Sooner Forget. So we can talk about this one first. So I'd love to know more about how this project came together, what you see it as representing for you, different things like that.
Yeah, so I will say I had a book designer, Kelsey DeSinca, who created the formatting. So I just want to like credit that. All that was her, and she did an amazing job and was so helpful in figuring out how the pages would be structured of the book. And I have a copy here. I'm going to flip through it while I'm. So while I was in grad school, we should have a trigger warning. This is really violent and deals with domestic abuse. Visceral, like actual physical violence. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So this book is about, I might cry.
That's
throw
totally
that out
okay.
there too. This book is about my family, my maternal side of my family. So it is me retelling a history of intimate partner violence, abuse, and through my gaze. So what I say in the book, I'll read this if it's okay, I can read the beginning. So the first page of the book in earnest says, I believe in a particular connection that comes when a group of women live through a certain kind of suffering together. The notion of a consciousness developed in familial bond. This is where I begin. I enter in and out of realities, stay calm and quiet, feeling what I can. I dive into a shared consciousness. I recall memories from other lives, and where my memory stops, I can feel someone else's begin. Always on the edge, but in these moments, I let it fill me. Memories We'd Sooner Forget is my own reclamation of the history of my family, the undeniable truths and events told from my own voice as I weave in and out of the perspectives of the women with whom I am connected. The narrative rests on the collective and individual stories of my mother, my two aunts, my grandmother, viewing myself as a guide or a conduit to organize their accounts. Though I am removed from the recollections themselves, I remain in this work inherently present. The story, though unquestionably true, has been adopted into my own interpretation. So that kind of like distills down. It's my mother, her two sisters, and my grandmother, their mother. And then it also opens with a Dorothy Allison quote. Behind the story I tell is the one that I don't. Behind the story you hear is the one I wish I could make you hear. Behind my carefully buttoned collar is my nakedness, the struggle to find clean clothes, food, meaning, and money. Behind sex is rage. Behind anger is love. Behind this moment is silence, years of silence. And that was from two or three things I know for sure, which was published by Penguin Books, and I got permission to use that quote from
Oh,
Dorothy.
well.
So, yeah, and then it floods out. I'll pick it up. It floods in and out of these pictures, which are kind of like portals into small moments of memory, like
Yeah.
the pictures on the screen as well, and they change. And so there are multiple different types of images. There are archival images of my aunt, my grandmother, or my two aunts, Francie and Anna, my grandmother and my mother. And then there are two different types of texts. There are texts that have been pulled from, so that smaller text that's on the screen is me writing. And then there's bigger text that is me reworking interviews that I did with my family in their own voice, speaking for them, or talking in like recalling things that conversations that we had had, things that I've heard all my life. And for these texts that are like from the perspective or the voice of my other family members, I would go into like a meditative state and try to just like recall as much information as I could. And that's why I talk about like shared consciousness, So this book, I was thinking about shared consciousness and thinking about epigenetics and like the trauma that's like passed down generationally, and how I could have an understanding of things that I didn't witness because it lived in my body in some way and I was able to access it. I think that this like is indicative of Appalachia, but also just indicative of historical women, and probably much more prevalent in like Black and Indigenous women. But there is this inherent intuition that is shared, and that kind of like my mother has always had, and that I tried to connect into as well when thinking about this work of like, and when all of this was happening was really important, and like that I was tapping into, but it was exhaustive. So the book goes in and out of those, and then has the ephemera, the like archival images, and then it has these new images too that I've taken, which are sites of violence as they occurred in my family. So that picture is like a door that my grandfather was like trying to get into, and my grandmother had like locked him out, and he was like punching at the door. And then there's always like this small escape on the edge of the image, some kind of like small relief. There is, and then there's the smaller text is like me writing like response.
Yeah.
One of my cats is coming. So, you know, the text that says like, oh, Franny, you should have ran. You should have been running a long time ago. That's me talking.
Right.
Whereas the others are from a different voice. And they shift from like, they shift from my grandmother to my mother to my aunt. One of the texts is about my mother being sexually assaulted and raped in her own home. And then there's a picture of the perpetrator, and then the picture of what it looked like to look up from her bed into the ceiling.
Oh.
So, and without telling this to the audience, right? But I'm like making these connections, like revisiting places that feel really heavy. And then the text that I'm writing is most often to do with Francie, my Aunt Francie, who has since passed. She passed this past October. She passed this past October due to complications from the events that are described in this book.
Oh, wow.
Which is, she was brutalized and beaten by her partner so badly that she suffered irreparable brain damage. And so there are also these other images. It's small, so it's not going to be like overly, but it is a little bit graphic. So this image of Francie in the hospital after that attack had occurred. And I think it's also on the screen too. If you scroll down, there are more images past the book. Or maybe this is just the book. Actually, if you go to the door frame. Oh, the door frame is some of the embedded in these walls exists in the book. Some of the images from that series exist in the book. And then also some images from the series What Happened exist in this book too, because they're all talking to each other and made around the same time.
Yeah.
So the end of the book kind of wraps up with saying, you know, I tied a little bow around her to kind of create an ending for the book, but it certainly wasn't like an end. It keeps going. So this was in 2018 that I made this, right? This persisted up until really recently and is also still like echoing through
the family.
But so this book is about, I started making work about my aunt when her partner attacked her. I had already been making work about her. and my family, and thinking about her in particular. I had started making work about her because she, well, I have a spiritual connection to her in some way because my mother merged us in her mind in some way when I was younger, me and Francie. She would call me Francie all the time, my mother, when I was little. She would constantly call me Francie by accident, but never quite catch herself. Francie was much younger than my mother. They were about 10 years apart. And my grandmother, who was a single mom, from the time that, you know, the kids were still quite young. And so my mom did a lot of nurturing, caretaking, and mothering of Francie. And kind of my mother's narrative is that, you know, she was a mother figure to Francie. And so when I came along and I was her like actual, like physical daughter, she couldn't separate me and Francie because I think because of the trauma of her life and then me and then, you know, being a daughter and then this history of violence and this like with women in the family. So the majority, almost all of the men in my family are abusers. And all of the women in my family have been abused. So I think like my mom just like from my mom has CPTSD and I think like something merged us in her mind at some point. And so she would compare me to Francie. She would say, don't do this. You're acting like Francie in like a like desperate plea to like try and like reclaim Francie because all of these like really horrible things kept happening in her life. And so it was something I thought about all the time. Like, and then I started making work about Francie and this started because I started thinking about my own this is going to go in a different direction. I started this because I was thinking about my own relationship to my body and fat phobia and diet culture and like the horrifying ramifications of that being someone who was put on a diet when I was like 10 by my mother. So that was horrible. But then Francie, when she has five children. She was a small, fat, very tall, beautiful woman who wrestled with her body and wrestled with the notion of trying to gain love and affection from men predominantly and be desired. And so she, at one point in her life, gorged herself into a weight where they would approve her for a bariatric surgery. And then after she had bariatric surgery, she kind of became like a shell of who she was and became an alcoholic, which happens with a lot of people who get bariatric surgery. It's like has a huge mortality rate because people turn to alcoholism or something to try and deal with, you know, the fact that now that they're skinny, they still don't like themselves. So I was unpacking that and unpacking my issues with my body as they relate to my mother, as they relate to Francie. And I started making work about that. And then Francie's alcoholism led her into these really violent relationships with men that were escalating beyond the point of the other violence that she had endured from her husband, from her, you know, for years, and then led to these events. So that's kind of like the arc of this story, but there's a lot that's happening in the book, but it is, you know, a mix of images from multiple different projects, along with archival images of my family, me thinking about Francie and really meditating in that space. Knowing that something like that, this was like a really pivotal and important part of my family's story, even though it was horrifying, like everything that was happening was horrifying. And so I started shifting into making this work after Francie was in the hospital. They told us she wasn't going to make it through the night. And so I, being in Richmond, she was in Virginia and I was closer. So I went to the hospital, and sitting with her, and kind of like, I had already been making work about her. I had already been thinking about her. I also, I mean, my brother will tell you this too. I have a brother, he's 4 years older than me, and we aren't necessarily super close, but we both have this. He mentioned this at Francie's funeral, and it's a distinct memory to me too. My very first prayers, because I was brought up in the church as an evangelical, like Baptist, my very first prayers that I can remember praying were for Francie, because that's what my mom told us to pray for, because her husband was abusive. And I can remember my mom like praying over me and my like feet at night to not let the same generational trauma of this violence touch me. And so like that dichotomy kind of like works its way in there. And that's also informed my queerness too, of like, my mom definitely didn't want me to end up being queer as an adult. But I think that it's this funny dichotomy of like, well, the way to get me out of the violence of men is if I'm a queer woman. And so like in large part of that, like direct, like punctuation of like really intense physical violence is if I do not yoke myself to, or don't have the possibility of like yoking myself to a violent man. So all of that comes up in the work. And that's that book. And so it kind of ends off. So I've been thinking about the book a lot because all of this stuff, this work has kind of resituated itself in my brain because of everything that's been happening with my aunt. And she did inevitably die from what kind of like spurred this book forward. So I think I will probably revisit at some point and make some more work about that. But not right now.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. I can only imagine what it's like to have a physical object of all these experiences as well.
Yeah, my mom cannot look at it. She, this is my grad school, also thesis work, was the book paired with large format images on the wall. And she can't take it in. And we've had like some rough arguments about like, you know, who's allowed to talk about these things. But it feels so like central to how I was brought up and like how I've understood myself and who they kind of like situated me to be. But yeah, it is wild having an object, and sometimes I forget about it, right? It's like in the back of a closet, in a box, and then I'll see it and it, like, you know, but yeah, it is wild having like an object that has all of this kind of like years and years of, and not even like, right, that's only two generations. There is more violent, more horrible things that happened before that I can't even speak to, you know, that I like have heard whispers of, that I know have happened. But yeah, so thinking about that, and just like, you know, thinking about that and how all that lives inside of all of our bodies is wild. So, yeah.
Incredible. Very fascinating.